And after further consultation by subcommittee, have reported back for another try. House Bill 2329, Representative Jones, the compromise, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is an interesting little bill that's been around, and the other representative that tried it to run into a snowbank or a mud hole or something up there on the floor, and so now they're going to try it in another place here. However, it has been amended a little bit, and what we recommended was that the categories of expenses would be increased by the amount of 20% rounded to the nearest upper dollar, except for the one instructional permits, which 20% would have made it $2.20, so we went down 20 cents on it. And that's what the amendments are to 2329. Provides somewhere in the neighborhood of about $8 million. It's still about $3 million short of what the necessary funds are to make it whole. But this is just a fact of life because it didn't work the other way, so we're going to try it this way.
Yes. Senator Trump, please.
Right. I think what we're sending out is bad policy. And I think that we have before always tried basically to collect as much in fees as the services cost. Last time, admittedly, when the bill went forward, it collected a bit more than that. And so when we got it back, we did look at that. We did have proposals that would have reduced it down so that the amount of subsidy coming from the gas tax, the registration of pot of money, would not have been nearly $3 million. It's going to have to be what this proposal would have been, something like $300,000. And we had proposals to do that. We couldn't get the votes in the subcommittee for that. We could get the votes in the subcommittee for this, but this calls for a $3 million subsidy of services that ought to pay their own way with fees. And I oppose it. I think it's bad policy. And I'm going to say so on the floor of the Senate. So I just give you a notice of that.
That's fine.
Ditto.
Don't disagree with comments made. Further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Kopetsky.
I would agree with Senator Trost.
If the body would oblige to let me ask Representative Jones a question. Representative Jones, would the gas tax have any subsidy to Motor Vehicles Department under these fees?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, you're not supposed to use gas tax fees for this type of thing.
Oh, is this the one that we're
However, you, when you mention subsidies all the time, you forget to mention that the registration or license fee only costs $3.75, yet they collect 20. And this is just a little bit in the reverse of that. But it seems to be a different situation.
But the statement is true that the tax collected on fuel, excuse me, would not be subsidizing the motor vehicle department. That is a true statement.
Okay. Is that correct? Well,
at least that's where we were. That's where we
it
were.
All goes in. Those things all go into the same pot. The gas tax and the registration fee goes into the same pot, and that what's going to subsidize these services is money out of that pot.
It is fair also to say, Senator, that that you can call the pot whatever color you want to. The fact of the matter is gas tax receipts do not subsidize the licensing or the fee activity. It is an overtake on the vehicle registration fees that is subsidizing this. That's how the money gets into the pot so it can come back out. So on the one hand, we have money coming out of the highway or the motor vehicle fund or whatever it is that otherwise could be available for roads, but the fact is the gas tax itself is not being used to subsidize this account. It is an overtake on the license renewal that is subsidizing the activity.
Or less money that
it's a matter of, you can say that if you want to, or you can say it's the gas tax.
No, you can't say it's the gas tax, because the gas tax by constitution is dedicated to repair and maintenance of roads. The only reason we can do this is because we, in the $20 vehicle registration renewal, are receiving more money than what it costs to operate that fund, and that's what's being used to subsidize the other licensing activities. We are shorting, granted, in the long run.
They're not paying for the services that normally pay for themselves by the fees that they pay.
That is correct. However, the gas tax itself is not subsidizing. No, it's a registration.
You can put it that way if you'd like. That's fine.
Well, I think it is the correct way to describe it, whether I'd like to describe it that way or not.
That's fine.
Senator Meeker?
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Question?
This bill, the history on this bill is that it went from this committee to the House floor, was defeated,
yes,
and then returned to this committee. Is that correct? Right.
That's true.
Yes.
And the history of it is that it was defeated because of the fees were too high? Is that right?
No.
No. Okay.
Yes and no.
That's the real answer.
Yeah. No. Yes,
let's
and no.
Hear, let's hear from the no's first. And no. Hear from the yes.
Okay, is that fair? That's fine.
The no, as a no, it's not high enough.
Ah, whoops. Okay.
Oh. Now the yeses? Yes.
Well, you didn't hear all the no's yet.
Oh. You know, we're missing votes on our respective bodies.
I got my answer, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman.
Yes, you understand the
difficulty. It's a mixed bag of no votes on the ballot.
But there's like other proposals in the committee. Wouldn't have had it subsidized as much.
Not the bag, flip-flop the other way.
And staff recommended it.
Rick, call the roll, please.
Senators Meeker.
Aye, I think.
No.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trow.
No.
Wires.
Aye.
Yee.
Aye.
Kerens.
No.
Thorne.
Aye.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
No.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
No.
Presiding Chair.
Aye. And the... Excuse me.
2329.
House Bill 2329 will once again report to the House with a do-pass recommendation. Further business and announcements. The chair would like to announce officially that whether or not the bodies meet in session, the Ways and Means Committees will meet starting Saturday, on Saturday at 8 o'clock. There will be a listing of subcommittees, primarily salary and capital construction, working toward the conclusion of their work.
Good idea.
Those meetings hopefully will be done by 1 o'clock, so it will be a half a day. Senator Yee.
I have a personal engagement at 8 Saturday morning. I can make it here by 9:30.
I think if
we can work around that.
Can you?
Yes.
You mean somebody will start the meeting?
Yes.
Or a subcommittee will meet and your salary will start at 10 or something for the convenience of the chairs, but we have subcommittees other than capital and salary that need also to meet. So please pay careful attention to Rick Burke's office, the Legislative Fiscal Office, for meeting scheduling, because we're going to do as much as possible Saturday. There should be no House session. I don't know about the Senate. But we're really going to work hard on subcommittees. Any further announcements? If not, we're adjourned.
Joint Ways and Means Full Committee, Friday, June 12, 1987. Hearing Room F, 8:30 a.m., Senator Thorne presiding.
Budget bill, a few bills that are non-budget, and with any luck, we'll be able to adjourn rather shortly. First item is a bill for introduction that has been suggested by the Public Safety Subcommittee. Senator Hannon was going to carry that. Representative McCracken, it relates to attorney services for veterans. Are you familiar with the bill? Oh, you're here.
Let me look right at you.
Am I losing
you
that much weight?
Just
at least you don't weigh enough.
It might be a reflection on me. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is LC Draft
3407, as you'll recall, when we dealt with the Department of Veterans Affairs budget, one of the governor's recommendations was the elimination of the attorney program on veterans who are in need of assistance in applying for additional veterans benefits because of the additional costs, and this was used out of proceeds from the Veterans Home Loan Fund. It was felt by the governor's office that this program should, in fact, either funded through general funds or be abolished. What this bill would do is in essence, abolish that program. The veterans organizations totally support the introduction of the bill. They feel that it has not served the best interest of the veteran, and I would urge its adoption and introduction.
Request is for introduction. Is there objection to introduction? I realize it may have some policy questions later, but Representative Pesky, you're about to say something. Go ahead. And McCracken next.
Mr. Chair, I was quite instrumental in getting that little puppy passed last time.
We understand.
However, that. I'll always vote to introduce a bill.
I understand, and we had counsel with the subcommittee chair. We know that it's a policy question that may have some controversy surrounding it. Representative McCracken, do you have some comments you want to offer?
Well, Mr. Chairman, at the request of the governor, we did anticipate passage of the bill as we worked on the Department of Veterans Affairs budget. Should the bill not pass, then the emergency board would be required to fill in the funds, and it's not very expensive. I think it's around $20,000. I just want to make it real clear that this bill introduction is at the request of the governor and is a courtesy.
We understand that. Is there objection to introduction? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, the first item on the agenda relating to budgets is the budget for the Ethics Commission. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5541 is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission general fund budget. The bill was out on the floor of the House and it was sent back, and your subcommittee on public safety considered additional request increasing from 0.75 to a full-time position, the investigator position. Representative Parkinson came in and indicated there was a problem with the backlog and the concern expressed there. Co-chair Representative Gilmore came in and expressed support for including this additional funding position. This budget bill has already been approved by the Senate, was sent over to the House, and what we're doing is just making that a full-time position. The additional position or authority would, in essence, allow them to hopefully reduce the backlog in investigating these complaints and in a speedy fashion complete the functions. There really isn't too much to discuss, Mr. Chairman. We've already discussed this budget bill before. I would urge that we send it out again with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Discussion? Senator Wires.
Mr. Chairman, when I first got here, I was kind of frightened of all these people here, and I thought they were doing a lot of things that were under the table. And one of the nice things about staying around here a long time is to find what an honest bunch of people you deal with in state government. And I feel a little differently about this whole thing than I did 10 years ago. I'm glad the subcommittee is doing what it is, but I just wanted to make that other remark, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Representative Kopeski.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess Oregon is fortunate, generally, that we do not have ongoing and continuous corruption in government. I think it speaks well of Oregonian elected officials. I support having an ethics commission, and I don't think people, legislators, should be afraid to criticize workings of any public agency, including one that has a magic title of ethics commission attached to it. And it's our job to review and scrutinize the budgets and the operations of any agency or commission, regardless of their title.
Further discussion? Not the motion is on Senate Bill 5541. Would you call the roll?
Representatives Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Fillmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Hammond.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wire.
Aye.
Herron.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 2277, under other bills that are reported out of subcommittee, to be carried by Representative Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Originally, this bill arose out of the task force during the interim on public employees' retirement, and it rode the thin edge of managerial interference and legislative concern. We think that we have fixed that up a little bit, that allows a little bit more on the part of the management to do their job. At the same time, issues are concerns about how funds are distributed. So we amended the bill, and it requires the Public Employees Retirement Board to submit a preliminary proposal to the appropriate legislative review agency for its review and comment. And those are very crucial words, because it's not to mean in any way to interfere with the board's action, but certainly allows us to comment on the crediting of any income received through the investment of the retirement fund. The bill also amends ORS 237.285 to require actuarial evaluations of the retirement system once every 2 years rather than once every four. And the feeling was that this is getting to be such a big and important fund, we wanted to give the tools to the manager of this particular fund the ability to have the most up-to-date information at their fingertips in order to assess where we're going with this large fund. Recommend your approval.
Thank you, Representative Van Vliet. Is there other discussion? Hearing none, the motion is to send House Bill 2277 to the floor of the House. You pass. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senator Meeker.
Aye.
Hammond.
Aye.
Trobe.
Aye.
Wire.
Aye.
Meade.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next is House Bill 2735, Representative Kopetsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Got scared a little bit when I saw the relating clause on this bill. House Bill 2735 establishes the Retirement Health Insurance Trust Fund. This fund will be used to pay for health care insurance that provides coverage supplemental to Medicare, an amount equal to $50, or the total monthly cost of that coverage, whichever is less, will be paid from the fund for public employees with 8 or more years credible service at the time of retirement who are otherwise eligible for Medicare. The first $350 million of all employer and employee contributions to the PERS fund received on or after the effective date of this act will be credited to the Retirement Health Insurance Trust Fund. A transfer from the gain loss reserve will be made to reimburse employer and employee accounts. Technical amendments were approved to clarify the benefits provided under this act will not be subject to state and local taxes, and to allow the PERS board to terminate the coverage if the number of participants becomes insufficient to justify continuation. I think this is an excellent program we're beginning here, and I urge your yes vote.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Representative Kopetsky, how much does it cost the fund to pay for the $50 a month Medicare insurance?
There is a transfer, Senator Yee, of $350 million from the fund, which is, of course, originally from employer contributions and the interest earned from that to establish the creation of this fund. The PERS board will negotiate with different providers to in the competitive market out there to put together packages, and they believe, and we review different programs out there. As I recall, the range was in terms of premiums anywhere from $39 to $45, $46 in terms of a Chevrolet model, if you will. That's essentially the program.
Mr. Chairman, another question.
Senator Yee, a question. Yes, go ahead.
Representative Kopaski, how much interest will the fund lose by transferring the $350 million out to pay for this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, it's sort of a difficult question to respond. Generally, the fund has been doing quite well on its interest earnings, as I recall, somewhere above 22%. There's four different accounts. I think they've been assigning about 16% of the earnings to each of the four accounts. You have to look at the market and decide, you know, what is the earnings on the $350 million.
So, Mr. Chairman, at 16%, we're going to lose $60 million a year in interest?
No.
There's no interest lost on this because you're just shifting funds to a different category.
Wait a minute. We need to have somebody respond to the question. You want to respond to the question, Representative Kopaski?
I think Jack is here, Ms. Wigert, actually. Jack is here, but we are creating a new trust account. We will be paying monies out of that account, certainly. I don't know exactly how you would compute the amount of the interest lost.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I want to know what is the interest lost from losing the $350 million.
Mr. Chairman, there is no loss.
That's right. No,
there is zero loss. You have control of the money. The $350 million, rather than being deposited in the accounts and earning interest in the regular way, is segregated in another account and earns interest. It is managed just like it were in the other accounts, earns interest, and then that money goes to buy this new service. So the net effect is that the employees get 100% of what they would have gotten, and there is zero loss. There is no loss.
So, Mr.
Instead of getting interest, Senator Yee, what they get is
a
benefit.
Substantial benefit.
They get a benefit instead of the interest. This comes to the same thing.
So, assuming interest is 16% for the $350 million trust fund, you're talking about $60 million. So, are we using the interest income in the amount of about $60 million for payment of health insurance premium? Or are we using more
than
that?
No, it's all part of the same account. Whatever that interest amount is and the earnings is, it'll remain in that trust account.
So we do lose the interest income?
No.
Because the interest income is used for health insurance. Otherwise, it could be used to lower employer and employees' rates.
Oh.
Senator Yee, yes. If the benefit that's being asked for in this proposal were one other way you could spend the benefit would be to lower rates, that's correct. The subcommittee has chosen to offer a benefit based upon the earnings that have been demonstrated. And therefore, the question before us is, do you want to offer the benefit or, as you're pointing out, the other option would be to suggest, although I don't know that the committee probably looked at that suggestion and rejected it,
we did it elsewhere.
Would be to suggest a lower rate. But that's you're correct in the fact that if you offer a benefit, it takes away from the fund.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to oppose this proposal because I feel that the money should be used to lower rates for employers and employees. And it will affect the property taxes that people pay.
Mr. Chairman.
That's correct.
Yeah,
wait a minute. You're through, Senator Yee?
Yes,
okay.
I'm through.
Representative Mason.
I failed to see the relationship to property taxes here. Although this
Public employer, there is a tangential connection. A public employer, a school district that would have to pay additional, could have a reduction in rates, which theoretically could roll back to a reduction.
That's a tentative abstraction and you're stretching it at best. This is probably one of the best programs ever to come through here. What you're talking about is establishment of a health care program for retired employees, which might note someday will include most of us, some of us it already does, will include most of us, what you're doing is you're picking, you're allowing people to go beyond Medicare. The state is going to pick up that supplemental insurance. This is a very necessary program, and I think what you're seeing is perhaps one of the
first shot, at least I don't know if it was intended to be, but it's perhaps one of the opening play in what's going to be a broad approach to health care on the part of this administration.
Well, Representative Mason.
And I think, if I can, Senator Yee, this is a good program. The idea of reducing those contributions is penny wise and pound foolish. These workers need this.
Further discussion to the bill, and I'd ask the members, fine to make the point, but let's try to keep the dialogue on the issue as opposed to turning it into a debating society, if you will. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say property taxes is a major concern, and I like to see the money be better used by lowering property taxes.
I understand the point. Further discussion. Would you call the roll on the motion, Mr. Burke, on House Bill 2735?
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McRackett.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Hannon.
Aye.
Trove.
Aye.
Wire.
Aye.
Yee.
No.
Karens.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. Next item is House Bill 3381. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 3381 is the bill that creates the Department of Insurance and Finance and transfers to it all the functions of the Workers' Compensation Department and the functions of the Department of Commerce related to the regulation of the insurance industry, financial institutions, and the securities. Both the Workers' Compensation Board and the State Banking Board are also transferred to this new department. The new department is headed by a director appointed by the governor and subject to confirmation by the Senate. The department director is also designated as an insurance commissioner and thereby becomes the state's principal consumer advocate in insurance matters. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is the first part, I think, of what you're going to see of the reorganization. There is still some bills yet to come out of our public safety subcommittee that will deal with the remaining issues, such as the placement of the fire marshal and the builders board and the regulatory licensure board. I would, however, draw your attention to page 4 of the budget note, and as you look just below the budget note, there's a paragraph there, and I think it needs clarification. It said the subcommittee did not approve the request to repeal the regulation of power brokers. That should be pawn brokers. We are not trying to create a new regulatory function here.
We'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Who are these power brokers?
Yes, well, it's a bill yet to be introduced.
Regulating the governor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that this is really well planned out. I think it deals with the recommendations and suggestions of the governor and Mr. Stan Long, the current director of Department of Commerce, and his staff, and I think it's a lot of deliberation work has gone into it, and I would highly recommend it. I would like to add one other thing before we take a roll call vote, so as I can be on record, potential conflict of interest, because I am a licensed insurance agent.
There was, thank you, Senator Hannon.
And not a power broker.
The rest of us will make that declaration. Yes, right.
Representative Van Vliet had suggested maybe deleting power broker and inserting the governor. You don't want to claim that?
I'll claim it. I said it.
Take out power broker.
Further discussion? If not, the motion then is on the first portion of the Commerce reorganization contained in House Bill 3341. Call the roll, please.
Representative Van Vliet.
Aye.
Hanneman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Mason.
Aye.
McRackett.
Aye.
Kopetsky.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Meeker.
Aye.
Hannan.
Aye.
Crowe.
Aye.
Wireley.
Aye.
McGee.
Aye.
Harrod.
Aye.
Presiding Chair.
Votes aye. Motion carried. I believe that's our agenda. Just under announcements, we'll plan our Saturday schedule. I would hope that members could work diligently up until noon and then call the day. I would like us to linger on for the sake of the staff and our own need to attend personal matters in the afternoon. Did you have a...
Just please, if we're going to start at 8 or 8:30 in the subcommittee, let's have some courtesy to the other members of letting them know if you're not going to be on time. So we don't stand in a hall till 9:30.
Jeff and I certainly will cover if someone's had reason to be late or delayed.
Yep.
Other announcements?
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
I'm wondering if we should try to go into our sub briefly with the Senate taking up at 9.
The Senate members have been excused as per your choice. If one of the subcommittees, two of them, Senator Wires or Tro, if you want to meet, you...
For regulating underground storage tanks. Senate Bill 115 will allow Oregon to administer the program rather than the federal government, the EPA. So the bill was necessary for Oregon to assume primacy in the regulation of underground storage tanks. The bill authorizes the EQC to adopt necessary rules to gain interim and final operation of the underground tank program from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. These rules may include performance standards for leak detection systems, inventory control, tank testing, record maintenance, installation and retrofitting requirements, permit requirements, and others. The Commission may also adopt a program which regulates the individuals providing underground tank installations and removal, retrofitting, testing, and inspection services. Your committee adopted several amendments to the bill, but perhaps the most significant was to limit the fees to be charged to a tank owner to $25 per tank per year during 1987-89 biennium, and then to reduce the charge to $20 beginning July 1, 1989. Also, an amendment was included to require review of the proposed rule requiring an owner or permittee to demonstrate and maintain financial responsibility prior to its adoption. The plan to address the insurance provisions of the bill must also be reviewed prior to implementation. Mr. Chairman, just one thing about the fees. We're calling for a $20 a tank fee or $25 a tank fee for this biennium, reduced to $20 for the next. We're hoping that $20 will be adequate. It's possible that there are a lot more tanks out there that would qualify to pay the fee than have now been estimated. It is possible, however, that this will not be adequate, and the agency may have to come to the next Ways and Means Committee during the next session of the legislature to again discuss the adequacy of the tank fee. But we think $20 would be adequate for the next biennium. So further recommend approval.
Further discussion. Any opposition to the motion to send this to the Senate floor? Do pass. And let the record show it's unanimous that Senate Bill 115 will report to the Senate floor. Do pass. Senate Bill 116. Senator Yee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congress made significant amendments to the Federal Hazardous Waste Program in 1984, many of which the Department of Environmental Quality does not have the statutory authority to implement. Senate Bill 116 includes the changes necessary to receive authorization from EPA to implement the amendments. If Senate Bill 116 is not adopted, Oregon will lose authorization for even its current hazardous waste program. Two of the significant amendments include the ability to require hazardous waste minimization and reduction, and the authority to require corrective cleanup action for releases of hazardous waste from past practices. The bill was amended to be consistent with the provision of Senate Bill 535, which has already been adopted by the Assembly. This measure eliminated as a condition of issuance of a hazardous waste disposal site permit that a permittee must deed to the state the portion of the disposal site where hazardous waste would be disposed. I urge your approval.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 116? Is there any opposition to the motion to send this to the House, to the, excuse me, to the, that's right, House floor as amended? Hearing no opposition, it will be sent to the House floor unanimously. Senate Bill 117, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 117 is a water pollution control revolving fund program. The Federal Clean Water Act of 1972 established a comprehensive program to clean up the waters of the nation. To address the costs, a federally funded construction grant program was established. The recently reauthorized Clean Water Act phases out this grant program over the next 8 years. The largest portion of the available funds during this phase-out period will be available to states for the creation of state revolving loan funds. A. N. Groh's Senate Bill 117, as amended, establishes a water pollution control state revolving fund to assist local governments in providing necessary funding to construct and rehabilitate sewage treatment works. This allows the state to take advantage of available federal funds as the grant program is phasing out. The committee amended the bill to delete the appropriation section. Other fund expenditure limitation is provided for in the department's budget, which can be increased to meet the 20% match requirement for use of the federal funds. Local government funds are a potential source of the other fund revenues. I urge your approval.
Further discussion? Any of those, excuse me, any members?
Aye.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's faster, right? Any opposition to sending this to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing no opposition. Senate Bill 117 will report to the Senate due pass. Senate Bill 122. Senator Troll, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 122 is an important bill that establishes the Oregon Superfund Program. Oregon currently does not have the capability to effectively identify, assess, and respond to abandoned, inactive, or bankrupt hazardous substances sites. Current activities are limited to involvement through the federal Superfund program. A. N. Groh's Senate Bill 122, as amended, establishes a state Superfund program which allows Oregon to participate with the EPA in cleanup of sites on the national priorities list, and it also allows us to investigate and clean up additional sites within the state. The program is financed by an increase in the $10 per ton disposal fee, basically collected at Arlington, on hazardous waste to $20 per ton plus anticipated federal revenues. The principal focus of the 1987-89 biennium will be site discovery and characterization, with the goal being identification of all sites with significant hazardous waste contamination. Funds spent for site cleanup will involve those where significant threat exists to the public health or where irreparable damage will result if action is not taken immediately. The department will report to the emergency board for approval prior to proceeding with a major hazardous waste cleanup effort. The leaking underground storage tank cleanup fund was removed from this bill, was put over in Senate Bill 115, we've already talked about. Which is a fund the department testified would not be utilized during the 1987-89 biennium. So we removed out of this program the tank fee part of the funding for the program. And the program is funded basically with the increase in the per ton disposal fee on hazardous waste to $20 per ton. Recommend approval.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kopetsky.
I am new to the Ways and Means process, and I guess I'm proud of the subcommittee's work and just want to commend the members of that, our subcommittee, and the steadfastness of the chair, Representative Jones, and their positions, and the fact that they both blinked, I guess, at the right time so that the agreement could be reached on these important package of bills and on the DEQ budget. I think the political process worked, and it worked very well to the benefit of Oregonians. And I guess I don't think I'll ever play poker when Tro and Jones are at the table. because I'm going to lose.
I want to also, from the chair, co-chairs, give a special thanks of patience to Senator Trow. I know there were some real trying times in that committee, but I think hopefully the best did work out.
That's a good committee.
Great. Further discussion. Is there any opposition to sending this bill to the Senate floor? Do pass. Hearing no opposition, it will be sent unanimously. Senate Bill 229. Senator Cairns, please, again.
Senate Bill 229 permits schools to outfit their buses with yellow stop arms and permits school bus drivers to report violators of the school stop law.
Box mixtapes.
Is there further discussion? It's my understanding the stop arms are one of a non-mandatory, but one of a...
Permissive.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
What color are the stop arms?
Yellow, octagonal.
With red flashing lights. And a tassel.
Because of that important note, I intend to vote aye.
Is there further discussion? Is there any opposition to the motion of sending this to the Senate with a due pass? Hearing none, it will be done unanimously. Senate Bill 288. Senator Cairns, please.
Senate Bill 288 is the comparable work package, which includes an appropriation of $1. The funds to come is House Bill 5061. It's been signed off on by all of the contending parties in interest over comparable work.
Is there further discussion? Is there any opposition to the motion of...
I vote no.
The record will show that Senator Yee has voted no. Any further?
Does this increase my pay?
No.
Then Senate Bill 288 will report to the House with a due pass recommendation. For the record, Senator Yee has voted no. Senate Bill 488. Senator Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 488 changes the present composition of the Board of Maritime Pilots by adding two public members, thereby increasing the total membership from 7 members to 9, including 3 pilots, 3 public members, and 3 individuals who have engaged in the ownership, operation, or management of ocean-going vessels. The terms of the present board members cease on January 1st, 1988, at which time the governor will appoint a new board. This measure further provides that the board contract with the Public Utility Commission for hearings officers in the rate-making process and the Economic Development Department make recommendations on rates. Your subcommittee amended the bill further to clarify that the recommendations of the Economic Development Department are on rates only. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would urge that we send Senate Bill 488 out with a due pass recommendation.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 488? Is there any opposition to the motion? And let the record show we'll report to the House with, to the House with a due pass recommendation unanimously. Senate Bill 707. Representative Hanneman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 707 provides for the permanency in statute of the Western States Legislative Forestry Task Force and the Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force, and the funding is found in the Assembly budget.
Further discussion? Any opposition to the motion by Representative Hanneman? Hearing none, it will report to the Senate due pass unanimously. Senate Bill 964. Senator Wires, please.
Thank you. This is the lottery budget. It allocates $60,955,000 for 87-89. This compares with $60.2 million for the current biennium. The committee reviewed all the programs proposed for funding by the governor as modified by the Trade and Economic Development Committee, provided within the bill, in addition to continuation of the higher ed construction projects approved in 85, was $25 million for the governor's regional strategies program, including $7.5 million for the Oregon Convention Center. Each of the separately funded programs are listed in the budget report. Some represent continued funding for programs originally authorized in 85. New initiatives include the establishment of the Strategic Reserve Fund, funding for statewide tourism marketing, targeted job training through community colleges, the partial funding of an international trade center.
The Trade Center project is not finalized, and therefore your committee recommended emergency board review prior to the commitment of any funds for this project. The bill provides for a uniform reduction in allocation to each program in the event of a revenue shortfall, provides for the allocation of additional revenues if lottery sales should produce revenues in excess of the estimate. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of this budget? Representative Kopetsky.
Senator Wyers, could you inform me how much dollars on the regional strategy amount is allocated to the, oh, let's say the Marion Polk area?
That is not been specifically allocated as yet, pending the development of the regional plans for that area.
So does that mean that it's somewhere between zero and
17,500?
17,500,000.
How many, how many regions are there?
Four?
Yes. Four regions?
No, four and one statewide, covered by a statewide SPPO.
Well, let's get a correct answer. Ken?
Mr. Chairman, there can be any number of regions. It depends upon the process at the grassroots level as to how the counties wish to combine into regions and come up with a central theme for the application for funds and receipt and expenditure of those funds. So you could have anywhere from 0 to 36 regions, but you won't, of course, have that.
Further discussion. Is there any opposition to the motion to send this to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing no opposition, that's what we're doing. Next. House Bill 2132. Representative Jones, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This continues the electrical permit fee at the current level and repeals the sunset. I recommend approval.
Further discussion? Any opposition to the motion by Representative Jones to send this to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing no opposition, this 2132 will report to the House. House Bill 2367, Representative Kopetsky.
Mr. Co-Chair, House Bill 2367 requires training and licensing of contractors and certification of workers who engage in asbestos abatement projects. The committee amended the definition of asbestos to what the EPA is now proposing in its asbestos in schools rules and its asbestos product ban rules. In addition, an amendment was adopted to authorize the Lane Regional Air Pollution Authority to carry out the provision of the bill in its area. Finally, an amendment was adopted to clarify the circumstances when a worker review course will be required to receive yes vote.
Is there objection to Representative Kopetsky's motion? No objection. Then House Bill 2367 will report to the floor of the House with a due pass. Next is House Bill 2554, Representative Gilmore.
House Bill 2554 requires Criminal Justice Council to develop pretrial release standards using risk management methodology. The legislation, a product of the Oregon Jail Overcrowding Project, is expected to produce a metric that will foster the efficient use of sacred jail space for incarcerated defendants most likely to abscond or to commit additional crimes pending trial. House Judiciary Committee amendments to the original bill add the propensity for violence to the statutory pretrial release criteria to assure its inclusion in the metrics. The bill appropriates $43,500 to the Council Finance Survey of Representative Counties needed to develop of the standards, and the Council also plans to develop uniform bail schedule as part of the project, and the analyst who writes these is in deep trouble because they're using words in order that it's difficult to pronounce in a quick presentation.
Was that you, Ms. Hutchison, that wrote that?
It was scary.
I don't use those words normally.
It was scarce.
Okay.
Don't lower your standards, Kay.
Not because of me, please.
Is there further discussion on House Bill 2554? would there be objection to Representative Gilmore's motion that it be reported to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. The next item on the agenda is House Bill 2612 relating to ports, Representative Hanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is the port planning and development program for this biennium coming. The bill establishes three expenditure limitations totaling $600,000 for the following purposes: port planning, statutory limitation of 1.5% of the port revolving loan fund to be transferred to the port planning and marketing fund, and accompanying limitation of $250,000. The emergency port assistant loan fund and other funds limitation, $250,000 for emergencies involving imminent default of debt payment, and the Lower Columbia River study for $100,000. Bill also creates Port Planning and Development Advisory Committee, provides for its membership terms of office and duties, and it is continued in existence for 4 years, required to file reports annually to Trade and Economic Development Committee. Expenses of committee members be reimbursed by the Department of Economic Development. It's essentially a creature of the Trade Committee.
Is there further discussion? Is there any opposition to Representative Hanneman's motion? Hearing no opposition, House Bill 2612 will report due pass to the House as amended. Next bill is 2715. Senator Trow, please.
Thank you. House Bill 2715 is a measure which requires the Criminal Justice Council to develop sentencing guideline for use by judges in the sentencing of persons convicted of crimes. The purpose of the guidelines is to assure appropriateness and uniformity in sentencing and to correlate sentencing with correctional system capacity. The concept is patterned after successful projects in Minnesota and Washington. The budgets for the project is $218,000, which includes funding for three limited duration positions. Funding is from a $124,000 general fund appropriation and a $94,000 Bureau of Justice Assistance grant, for which the council is authorized to apply. Recommend approval.
Is there further discussion? Any opposition to the motion to send this to the House? Hearing no. House Bill 2715 will report as amended to the House floor. 2736, Representative Kopetsky, please.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2736 makes several changes of a housekeeping or technical nature to the PERS laws. Obsolete language has been deleted. Provisions currently in statute have been clarified in several areas. Makes the some of the changes are it alters the computation of final average salary by using three highest paid years of career rather than three highest of final 10. It specifies the standard of coverage for academic employees of community colleges, and with the amendment the subcommittee made, these community colleges are in support of this measure, and so if you're receiving threatening phone calls or letters that you can, or if you received threatening letters in the past, you may now know that we've taken care of that concern. Any conflicts amendments will be prepared that are necessary to PERS bills will be prepared by Legislative Council to resolve any inconsistencies between the bill and other PERS legislation approved by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and would like to say announce a potential conflict of interest as I am a member of the PERS system.
Well, we all are.
I think, yeah, we all are, and I never know.
Okay. Is there,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Meeker?
I think the rules regarding conflict indicate that you, if you are a member of a class, that there is no conflict.
That's right.
And that's the case.
Well, there may be some subclasses in here that may benefit.
What if you're just classy?
We do?
Yeah.
No.
What if you're just classy?
And some will retire sooner than others.
If you're just classy, you have to declare conflict all the time.
All right.
Yeah. For the record, let's clarify.
I'm out of class, right?
The committee, to my knowledge, does not have a conflict of interest, but let it be so noted that the members who are or would benefit are noted on record of identifying that is a conflict. I think that will cover any possibility.
If you announce a conflict, do you have to retire?
No. Senator Karen.
On record, the last time the window opened, I did not avail myself of it. This opens up the window again. I don't know whether I will avail myself of it. but I do have a potential conflict.
So noted, as I earlier stated for the record. If there is to be one, let us show our face for that reason. Is there any opposition to the motion by Representative Kopetsky to send this to the House floor with the due pass recommendation? Hearing no opposition, then Senate House Bill 2736 will report to the House as amended. House Bill 3312, Representative Henneman, please.
Thank you. This measure does two things. It provides a procedure to allow a transfer of water rights from one source to another, and it reduces the water rights fees charged for domestic use. The first provision is intended to permit a proposed transfer on the Umatilla River, which would replace river irrigation rights with other stored water in order to enhance in-stream flows from tribal fish production. Second provision contained the amendments reduce the current domestic use fee from $100 plus 25 per household to 125 for the first second foot or fraction plus $60 for an additional second foot. The fee schedule is more in line with fees charged for municipal systems. The bill was introduced by Representative Norris and others from East Central Oregon, essentially. Umatilla Indian folks are in agreement with it. Everybody seemed to be in agreement. Went through a substantive committee with one amendment, our subcommittee, and in closing would recommend at the request of the representative who introduced the bill that he be allowed to carry it on the House floor.
For the record, that was the recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there any opposition to the motion to send this to the House floor? Hearing no opposition, it will be done unanimously. House Bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, Senator Yee.
I want to be noted as voting no on House Bill 2736.
Okay.
It would not change the outcome.
Senator Yee has asked unanimous consent that her vote be changed and noted as a no on House Bill 2736. 2736. It will not change the outcome.
Don't
PRS
you know?
Bill.
Don't you love us, man?
The record
I
will show
you,
that under unanimous
no
consent.
Vote.
House Bill 3312 is reported time unanimously to the House floor. No objection. House Bill 3378. Senator Cairns, please.
House Bill 3378 empowers the Legislative Fiscal Office to create an impact statement if the legislature, in its wisdom, creates new class of crime with penalties or enhances penalties for existing crimes so we can know beforehand the impact of any new crimes or enhanced crimes.
We'll be right there.
Do you have to eat?
No. just a second. We're under a call. We're going to finish the count. It should take 1 minute. Any further discussion? Any opposition to the motion? That it's sent to the House floor due pass. So ordered. Other business. Representative Kopetsky.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, Department of Human Resources, Mental Health Division, the request for the establishment of six new permanent full-time positions, abolishment of seven, upward reclassification of one, downward reclass of four, to implement a reorganization program office for developmental disabilities. The subcommittee concluded the reorganization would assist the division in accomplishing the institutional community goal of the Fairview Plan of Correction and recommended approval of currently financed position actions. The subcommittee also noted the division intends to transfer all adversely affected employees to jobs established for the plan of correction to the extent permitted by existing policies and collective bargaining agreements.
Is there further discussion?
We can read faster than I do.
Is there any opposition to the motion by Representative Kopetsky on position authority? Hearing
well,
no
objection, I could have heard it, but I couldn't.
Hearing no oppositions, it will be granted. Announcements? Senator?
Two quick announcements. We will use very guardedly the expedited process we used this evening. We had thought, had we gone through the roll call in the face of the Senate session and the fact that the House is in session, we might have run up against the 7 o'clock time. so we'll use that regard. The other announcement I want to make, the Ways and Means Committee subcommittee should be expected to convene in the morning at their regularly posted time. If, in fact, when the session's over, you all want work, we got hay to stack and a few other things, and we can go out and do that then rather than picking berries in the morning.
No strawberries.
We would appreciate that we laid off the strawberry detail in the morning.
Yes. One other announcement. I think that we should note for the record that full committee from now on will be on call. Anything in subcommittee should be posted complete so that a committee chairman
hopefully will be able to go through that posting, but if he cannot, then we will return to it whenever he can. Recesses would be advised instead of adjournments, if possible, of subcommittees.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me, Senator Wires?
We're going to meet in the Natural Resource and Economic Development Sub promptly at 8 in the morning. The chair will really be there, and we're going to conduct an investigation in the committee to find out if there's somebody there that's trying to delay getting all the work completed. By the time we complete the investigation, I hope we'll have all the work out tomorrow.
So noted. We stand adjourned.
Did he see that?
He hasn't seen that.
Okay, we're in the call.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, all right. I'm coming along.
Now.